In this episode, we quote a lot of things that people have said.
Strangers.
Youth pastors, senior pastors, guest speakers.
80-year-old pastors. And it's not good. We don't approve of it. So if you're young, maybe...
If you're younger than 12, why don't we put it there?
12?
14?
Hey,
PG-13.
PG-13 episode.
12-year-olds and under? Maybe just grab a huge lollipop and a little propeller hat and get to skipping. Yeah. Get to skipping to next week's episode.
These pastors are problematic.
Yeah. They're problematic.
They're a problem.
That's the trigger warning.
We don't condone the things they say.
This is an After School Program podcast.
What key are we in, G?
Yeah. That's a good clap.
That's a good one.
Excellent clap.
That was a great clap. All to sync, y'all. You already know. We trying to sync all this footage up for you, baby.
Me, baby.
We trying to sync it up for you, baby. How y'all doing, fellas?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful.
Petey, it's Petey, baby. How you doing, Chase?
I'm good. It's occurring to me now that we've started doing video again and we're all wearing the same clothes.
It doesn't matter. Guys, it doesn't matter. Does it matter?
Not anymore.
Nah. It doesn't matter. What are we going to do? Change in the closet like we used to? All we did was just change t-shirts.
Yeah.
It's kind of obvious. Do y'all want weekly webisodes or not? Weekly webisodes. Welcome back, guys. It's not like we went anywhere. I should have used the bathroom before we started. Do y'all mind if we pause this for a... I'm just kidding.
I don't care.
I got it, guys. Prayer with a P, capital P.
We'll just wrap this one up early.
Man, I love how creative you guys are. How do y'all figure out what to do? Just our bladders. Our bladders and hunger. Hey, I'm hungry. All right, let's not do something. Let's leave. So, guys... welcome back, Chase. How you doing, brother?
Thanks. I'm good to be back.
You acknowledge that we've been making the studio even bluer.
Yeah, each episode has gotten just a little bit more blue.
Guys, I mean, by the end of this season, we're just going to be avatars. The way of the water.
Blue Man Group.
We should paint ourselves blue for another one of these episodes.
Yeah.
Is that offensive to any people?
We painted ourselves white one time, and that was chaos.
Yeah.
That was a rough day.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Okay. For that video, I turned around, and I looked at Shama, who was in the process of getting his white paint off, and I, like, physically... could not look at you. I turned away.
Why?
I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, because you were laughing so hard?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hey, get past it. And then I'm doing white face. Get past it.
We couldn't get it quite all off, and PD had to go to work like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that was after, because Liz, your girlfriend, had told us, I think we used too thick of a layer. And we were like, oh, well.
Yeah, I think, what? Chase has a video of like me, you, and Liz huddled around the
bathroom
sink in the bathroom,
just panicking. My hands were like whitish for a long, like I couldn't get that off my hands to save my life.
I ruined a black t-shirt.
Oh man,
I think I did too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but it was a great video.
It was for the
y'all
bit.
Have like a ton of them, right? We had to do a sequel.
It's a great.
I'm wearing all black right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are you, Shama?
I'm actually wearing Maverick City Music tee. I did a, what was it? Like a black creator summit with them.
Just doing white face with the boys.
No.
What a day.
I did a black creator summit with them back in March, and they filmed it. It was over Zoom because I was in Tanzania, and they had a bunch of awesome black creators on there. And I don't know if it was so good or so bad, but they didn't release it. Wow. I had a great, you would have loved it, PD. I had some great jokes in there because they initially were like, all right, everybody go ahead and introduce yourselves. And there were like 20 people on the call. And I went, I'm Shama. And I'm actually in Africa right now with my family, which is the blackest thing you could do during Black History Month. And
you got a couple laughs. You get like nervous.
Well, it was just a bunch of black people on the call. So I'm thinking, I mean, guys, what is the blackest thing you could do during Black History Month? go to Africa, and I'm African, so I said that. But I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I had too many jokes because there were some people on, like there was a girl on there crying, just like I just what God has been doing just in my life, in my black life, and. And I was just over there, you know. Just
like, I'm an African. Can't get more African than that. Am I right? Am I right? Different approaches.
You know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Y'all can keep on chanting Black Lives Matter, but all Black Lives Matter over here. You know what I'm saying? We all black over here. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was an African.
So you were just coming with bits.
Yeah, I was coming with bits just because I thought, you know.
But, I mean, if anybody knows you, they should expect that.
Well, I just didn't do bits. Like, I also had some serious moments too, but yeah. I was trying to make it lighthearted because you know those Zoom calls where it's sort of like, man, we have 17 creators who we all love and admire on this call, and I'm like, guys, you got to break it up, right? Like, we got to break it up. And so that's why I was trying to kind of do that, and then, you know, trying to find a good balance of, like, you know, silly and also serious. Silly and serious, guys. That's my new ebook out right now. Check it out. It's really just my... I'm just kidding. What if I had an ebook to plug right now?
That sounded like a real pitch.
Silly and serious. The Shama Marama story.
Yeah. It's the half clown, half just me. Half
Silurious.
Oh, you going back in whiteface for the book cover?
No.
Oh.
I never left. Guys, so I did this thread last year. So we've been doing, PD and I, we co-created this series called Loose Cannon Guest Speaker, which has done great numbers online, Instagram, TikTok. It's been really cool to watch. PD and I both were like, what is the craziest thing that a pastor could say? And then we both just went back and forth writing those things.
Yeah, without it being hate speech. there is a line.
Yeah. you're like, I guess I'm trans because I've been transformed. That's a line that we wrote, which we're like, well, he has been transformed. And it's an abbreviation. Yeah.
I feel like we
not.
Get up like right to the line,
right,
but we
there.
Don't cross
yeah,
it.
Yeah, don't cross it. And so... some of the comments would be, some people would be like, I don't know about that one. And so I had this idea where I just hopped on my Instagram story and I went, guys, just tell me of a time that you were at a church or in a conference or an event, and a pastor said something or somebody on stage said something that, like, you know, it didn't make the news and he didn't go to prison, but it just didn't sit well with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I thought, okay, there are a lot of stuff that, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Mark Driscoll or whoever said that. But there are a lot of stuff you just hear somebody say something absolutely insane. It's bonkers. And then you're like, ah, cool. Who wants to go to Ruby Tuesdays after this? Yeah. You know
and
what
then
I mean?
You're like in the shower the next day and you're like, did he really talk about pushing people out of their wheelchairs?
You're like, I guess it's fine. So I kicked it off with a video, and then, you know, I kicked it off with a little video, and then, you know, so I just snapped screenshots and started reposting them. And obviously I did that thing where your stories just look like a dot, like dots.
Yeah.
And, but they were really good and a lot of people enjoyed reading them. Mm-hmm. And I thought I should compile these and like read them on the, on Church Stories one day, or we should just go through them and react to some of them. So this was the first one. Please, I want to remain completely anonymous. My dad once told me about a preacher that was teaching in a very important conference about how to make love to the Holy Spirit. It was a disaster.
And that was from Becky in Wisconsin.
You want to stay anonymous? Not here. How to make love to the Holy Spirit.
Very carefully.
Reminds me of something that I heard in Planet Red, our old youth group.
Why are you just top of the day? They still go by that name.
The other day, I was like, Planet Red. Like, I should take that.
Was it red because of Jesus' blood? I don't really know.
Relationships, evangelism, discipleship.
Three things that we were all bad at.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a cool band name.
Yeah.
Planet Red. Let's steal it.
This is from Cosby Bain. She's the, this is Michael Bain's daughter. Here at the church.
Is it about him?
I think so, yeah. She just puts him on blast. One time my dad, the pastor, one time a pastor was breaking a vase during a sermon on empty vessels. He told us the vase was his grandmother's. When he lifted it up to smash it, there was a very obvious target price tag on the bottom.
Dang.
Gosh, I thought you were about to say there were ashes in there. That's where my mind went.
Broken vessels. Anyways, this is Grandma.
She's been set free on the stage. She will now grant three wishes.
If you're going to go wild, just do it and get it out of your system. But then remember to come back to God. He was my junior high school Sunday school teacher, and he has been wilding out for quite some time. That's the quote. If you're going to go wild, just do it. He was junior high Sunday school teacher and has been wilding it out for quite some time. Has not come back to God. I'm 28 now, waiting for him to come back to God. So this dude, I mean, basically he got high off his own supply.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're going to go crazy. Just do it all. Do all the drugs. And then he's like, went crazy. So I don't know. Can you fault him?
Yeah. Do cocaine. It won't last.
Do cocaine.
Wait, this cocaine's kind of good.
I'd be like, I might ruin my life. BRB. A pastor used the Jacob breeding the sheep and goats in Genesis to talk about being in spiritual heat, and then proceeded to tell us that he wanted his wedding ceremony to end so he could skip to the end of the night. Awkward.
And it is also online. Yeah,
maybe don't listen to this episode with the kids.
Yeah. Hey, man, I just screenshot and share what people sent me, man. So this thing, I ain't writing none of this. I'm reading as is.
These are them.
these are y'all.
These are your Instagram fans.
Yeah, which, different from the podcast fans.
A little bit. A little judgier.
So I know a lot of pastors talk about, like, sex. Because they just know, you know. They just know it'll get a reaction. Like, they'll be like, oh, man, if you don't want people to fall asleep, just be like, man, hey, man, you know, men are different from women, right? Everybody knows this, right? You know, if we had, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, man, people, you get, like, the nervous laughs or whatever. So it's almost like a cheap, like a cheap claptrap, like a party trick.
Well, it's shocking, but technically, like, this is the only person who's allowed to say anything about it, so it's okay.
So you're like, and so, you know, me and my wife, you know, sometimes, you know, y'all find out about that later. You're like, kids in the back are clapping. You know, like, I mean, do you get, like, how often is it going to work? That's my thing. How often is that going to work?
I don't know.
And it just keeps on, maybe because there's, like, a new crop of, like, you know, middle school prepubescent teens coming up every year who don't know about all that stuff. So they're like, whoa, here he goes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think that is what it is. It's like,
as long as it works.
Yeah. It always gets a reaction out of middle schoolers.
Yeah. Okay. This will not sound shocking in this time of spiritual leader. People speaking harsh and crass all the time. But when I was a kid in the 80s in a conservative Pentecostal church, the pastor once loudly said, I don't give a rip. I have no idea the context since that was all I heard, LOL, but it sent shockwaves of offense through the congregation.
Hey, wow. y'all soft.
Man, they would riot if they listened to our podcast.
Public school Chase over here has got something to say to y'all.
Y'all soft, dog.
This is another one. My pastor brought in a tub of cow manure as part of his lesson. The church smelled so bad, and none of the windows were open. We are the cow manure before Jesus. That was his analogy, I guess. I mean, once again, if anybody knows anything about foul smells, mentioning we are the cow manure before Jesus, kind of adequate. You know, I don't know if you need physical manure in the room.
Yeah.
It's bad storytelling, bad analogy.
Yeah, I mean, all you'd have to do is put a bunch of middle school boys in a room, and then you get the smell you're looking for.
Yeah, you cut out the middleman of going to a field.
Yeah.
Shoveling cow.
You know, like, when he was shoveling, too, he's like, this is going to be so great. This is going to be so good on Sunday.
Yeah, and it didn't. That's another one. First off, you've nailed it with I did every single drug you could think of and some you've never heard of. That's a reference to Loose Cannon. That one was like every conference I went to as a teenager. The one I have for you is describing dancing by a camp speaker. That's what a German shepherd does while it's in heat. So it's like, don't dance? Is this dude like anti-dancing, I'm assuming?
I guess.
How?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's just it's cheap shots. This is a quote. We're going to see the visible manifestation of God tonight. Years later, it's still waiting for that. That's my favorite. That's a fun one.
That's a bold one.
When people are like, I feel God's going to come down in this room, in this camp tonight and shake things up. And you're like, well, I mean, will he?
God's going to come and he's going to mosh.
We gonna crowd surf the Lord Jesus tonight. One more. Pastor, while explaining how wide and big our love for Jesus is, began to sing, "We love Jesus from the windows to the walls." maybe he's one of those. Do you think he knew the rest of the song, or was he just sort of like, "I like that. I like that. I like that song, from the windows to the walls." Our youth pastor decided it would be a good idea to have himself carried into our youth service in a coffin, and have his wife post R.I.P. on social media while doing a sermon series on death in the afterlife. He got some phone calls.
I put a lot of thought into faking my own death when I was a kid.
Why? Did you not think of, like, the traumatic implications?
No, I thought, like, I wanted to have people in on it. But then, of course, I would get to the traumatic implications part and be like, okay, I can't do that to people.
Hey, if PD dies, don't be too sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, that's a great idea. I should keep putting this out there so that when I really do die, no one's going to believe it.
People be like, whatever. 77 and peacefully in his sleep. Sure.
That's classic PD.
That's exactly how PD would have framed it.
He's going to bust out of the casket just like he planned when he was 12.
Okay, this is another one. Anonymous, please. I remember a pastor saying, I want all of you to know the Lord, but if I see one of you growing closer to him than me, it's going to make me want more. And then followed up with the weirdest line ever. I'll climb up and down your back to get closer to God than you are.
Interesting. Okay. That's a pick me girl, but for God.
The pick me girl. So, I mean, is the goal to have people grow closer to Jesus, or is the goal to, like, not like beat him, you know? Because he's making it sound like,
it's a competition.
I mean, get spiritual, but I'm going to out-spiritual you, dog.
And climb up people as if they're a spiritual ladder.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
A lot going on in his analogy.
Too much.
I'll read a couple more. Pastors, do you want to hear more? Tripping. Or what do we want to do?
Keep
I've been enjoying them.
This is from Jaron Myers. He says, one time a white conference speaker was talking about Adam and Eve, and when the snake talked to Eve, Eve must have thought, is this N-word talking to me? This was in Arkansas. this is at a conference, too. You thought he would have been vetted. Do you think he was bold or stupid to be like, I'm going to drop
the
N-word?
And do you think he finished his set?
I'm going to drop
his set.
What's it?
Do you think that he got to, like, you know, wrap everything up neatly the way he wanted to? Or was he, like, ushered off the stage?
Here's the thing. I've been in some churches where something crazy has gone down like that. And I think because church is usually dun da 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 da, you know what I mean? It's just usually just like the same thing. When something does go awry, nobody knows what to do.
I would have been laughing so hard.
You know what I
would
mean?
Have been dying.
It's like if somebody said, like, if the white dude is like, man, is this N-word talking to me? And he's talking about Eve and the steak. Everybody would be like, ah!
I would have been dying.
And then they just kind of go, hopefully he'll be more calm than he just was. And then we all just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's rough.
I've heard some wild stuff, but never racism from the pulpit.
You haven't been to church much.
Okay. I was at a, this is another one. It's from John Harland. I was at a guy's retreat, and the speaker was talking about the lies we tell ourselves. And got a rock and a mirror. He broke the mirror with the rock after saying one of the lies, and a piece of glass flew up and got caught in his arm. And he started bleeding and had to leave the camp to go to the hospital.
Dang.
Mm.
I guess, okay, maybe that's the, you know, you can say whatever you want, but hey, if you get injured, maybe that's your end. That's when people have had enough. They're like, all right.
Yeah.
Have a seat. You hit a major artery. Have a seat. This is from Samuel Cook. My pastor at my childhood church once threw his watch into the congregation to prove he will preach as long as necessary. He hit an 80-year-old woman in the face, Miss Nelda. Later that summer,
Nailed her. Do I get the pun belt? Where's the pun belt?
Where's the pun belt?
You can't gift yourself the pun belt.
Nobody was giving it to me after I just dropped that fire pun.
Domestic violence on an 80-year-old lady? Here you go. That deserves a pun. Later that summer, he mentioned something about how time, and he asked the deacon in the balcony to take the clock off the wall that faced the stage. The deacon said, "You want me to throw this too, Bob?"
Bob.
Yeah, this is from Aiden Bassett. At my school, a girl was making an announcement about the women's study on love they were going to be doing that semester. And at the end, she said, we're going to make love better than ever this week. We still quote that to this day. this is one from Will Stewart. A preacher had a sermon against open-toed shoes because it showed, and I quote, toe cleavage. Tell me what you're into without telling me what you're into. Instead of saying horned goats, I said horny goats once. Yeah, you kind of have to leave after that one, dog. This is from Mike Santiago. You can't keep preaching after that. You got to close up your Bible and leave. At middle school church camp, I was told that a sin worthy of eternal damnation was listening to Party in the USA because the opening line said, "Welcome to the land of fame and sex."
I thought it said that too when I was a kid.
What does it say?
Fame excess.
Oh, man. Yeah. So they were wrong. When I told them that wasn't even the lyrics, fame excess, they were not happy.
Yeah, people hate being told they're wrong.
Yeah.
Especially after you've preached a whole sermon against Miley Cyrus. Satan on earth, Miley Cyrus.
So easy to fact check too.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't just pull up the lyrics before they did that. Yeah.
I heard, I was at a conference and the guy. The speaker was just talking about how it's so vital to be right now more than ever because people can fact check you. And not only can, but they will. So in the past, you could just say, you could just spout out some crazy fact about, you name it, right? But then now, if you say something like that, like over thousands of Nigerians die every day from malnutrition.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, oh, yeah, we need to support. But now if you say something like that, like, somebody can fact check it.
I'm always like, where's the study, though?
Like
when Chase quoted the best gorilla joke of 1897, mm-hmm. And then he found out it was a Tumblr post.
Yeah. Yeah.
Live on the pod.
I need to figure that out. Okay, so this is from Gabriel Day. Where do I begin? I heard one older lady sharing her testimony and get graphic about her past and say, "I'm proof God can turn a hoe into a housewife."
That's a good line.
We're going to have to put a trigger warning on this whole episode.
Trigger warning. We're just reading them as they come. Like, this is not even from us.
There are 6-year-olds who listen to this show.
Are there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, great. Hey, maybe 6-year-olds skip this one out.
I think we got to put something at the beginning like, hey, we're gonna quote a lot of pastors. You might not want to listen to this one with your kids.
Let's give the trigger warning right now. We'll cut that out and put it.
Okay.
Hey, guys. In this episode, we quote a lot of things that people have said.
Strangers.
Youth pastors, senior pastors, guest speakers.
80-year-old pastors. And it's not good. We don't approve of it. So if you're young, maybe...
If you're younger than 12, why don't we put it there?
12?
14?
Hey,
PG-13.
PG-13 episode.
12-year-olds and under? maybe just grab a huge lollipop and a little propeller hat and get to skipping.
Yeah.
Get to skipping to next week's episode.
These pastors are problematic.
Yeah. They're problematic.
They're a problem.
That's the trigger warning.
We don't condone the things they say. Publicly.
Privately is a different story.
We're like, oh my! Okay, this is from Anonymous, please. Mr. Please. Once at a wedding, the pastor told the entire congregation that the couple met on Tinder, which would have been fine, except they had lied and told their whole family they met through friends. I mean, technically, I mean, the people, humans, invented Tinder, so you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a couple more.
Maybe their friend,
you know,
is
Greg
the one
and IT,
it.
Like, who coded. The family, they'd met through friends. So his entire sermon centered on how great it is that Christians can meet online in the digital age. Not like one single word about marriage or love. It was a disaster. There is a we had a guy who was the guest speaker at our church this past Sunday, and he gave a really, really great message on Romans 9. Shout out to Brad Jones. I don't know if he listens to the show or not. And I went up to him afterwards and I was like, man, that was a really well put together message. I really enjoyed that. And it was really awesome. And that's what I find with a lot of talks in church or like Christian settings.
They're just riffing.
They're just riffing.
Yeah.
How did this guy preach a whole wedding sermon on Tinder and how cool it is that people get to meet online in the digital age? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's bad writing. Like, that's what I digressed, is that a lot of things that, you know, we're against and, you know, in like church, like this podcast exists just because we encounter so much bad writing in the Christian space.
And like pastors just spam the rule of three.
Oh,
there are other ways to speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they don't.
The rule of three being like you give three examples for everything.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, if the third example gets a big laugh, then they're like, it's kind of like we're going from Little League to the World Series. And then you're like, hey, you overstepped.
Like, you're doing cocaine and you're drinking and you're partying. And then they're
and you're doing cocaine while partying and drinking. Where are my cocaine partying drinking people at? You're like, no, not here. We're all nine.
Yeah. And the yelling. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I love it.
To teach, freaking, you don't always have to yell.
Just pull the mic away from their mouths.
Yeah.
And Jesus.
You can speak in your regular person voice.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, hey, if you were a better writer, you'd trust yourself more.
Yeah.
Good writers and speakers, like, you know, they pause more. Similar to how I just did. They slow down. Like, they're comfortable and confident in what they're saying. That they don't have to, like, you know, spice it up with, like, you know, weird examples and analogies and stuff. And, like, I'm going to say it. We're going to talk about sex today. Hey, turn to your neighbor and tell him, sex. Turn to another neighbor and tell him, sex. You know, like, they don't got to do that. They just go, hey, this is what we're going to talk about it. And then they just go, you know, it's well written, well structured, well presented. They go into it. They talk about it, you know.
Hey, pastors don't really be throwing out the old hits no more.
No.
Talk about David and Goliath.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, let me hear about Jonah and the whale.
You know, David had some sexual sins. Yeah, I see. And you're like,
kind
hey,
of
man,
his big thing.
About this is one from somebody else. They say, pastor used the phrase, rip him a new one, about 10 times in the sermon without knowing the connotation. He apologized the following Sunday.
Y'all saw.
A preacher said, if you're fat, you're a sinner.
Gluttony.
Y'all ain't ready to hear our opinions on that, though.
All I know is that Gwen Shamblin agrees with you.
Hey, this is another one. 12 years ago at a camp meeting, I had a large Cajun pastor point to my... Can you say Cajun pastor?
I think so. It's just New Orleans, right?
Yeah, like you can be racist to people in
Louisiana.
Hey, get
that Cajun woman! Can you say that?
Tom Segura did a whole special about it, so I think we're good.
I mean, they're not... How do you describe hating a group of people from a state?
It's like nationalism?
I don't know. 12 years ago at a camp meeting, I had a large Cajun pastor point to my baby brother mid-sermon and say, be ready, the Lord will return before that child sees double digits. My brother is 17 now. But the years leading up to his 10th birthday were interesting.
Statophobia?
That was a very, why did he point, what, double digits? How did he know how old that little kid was to be like, you young man, you will not see the age of 10.
That's really messed up.
I had an older pastor say that just because there is snow on the roof doesn't mean there isn't a fire in your loins. Men want a lamb in the streets, but a lion in the sheets.
Hey, brother.
Hatman, I... Should we stop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should call it quits.
30 minutes. All right, guys. Y'all broke us. I mean, once again, bad writing.
Yeah.
Rough.
That was rough.
And we read their bad writing for 30 minutes.
Does that make us bad writers?
Nope. We make us bad readers.
We should have found. man, where do we go up from here? What do we do?
Where do we go now?
Oh, wait a second. PD, you used to make mixtapes when you were younger.
Yes, I did. I uncovered one.
You uncovered a mixtape.
Nice segue, man.
PD, you used to make mixtapes.
PD, we haven't talked about this beforehand, but you used to.
Yeah. You're like, you just Jimmy Fallon me.
I Fallon'd you, dog.
I mean, since we...
Man, was the first 30 minutes of this episode even... should we even put this out? I'm questioning everything.
I think we should go back and delete some of the quotes, but not all. So it's going to be some work for you.
Which ones, though? I mean, I know which ones, but like, they're kind of rough.
Just send it to me after this and be like, all right, cut this one and this one. I'll give timestamps.
All right, PD's the standards and practices of church stories.
So if this episode still ends up offending you, direct the hate to me specifically.
Anyways, here's Wonderwall.
So this is a 15-track mixtape, and we don't have time to go through all of it.
You brought this on a CD?
I want you both to pick a number, 1 through 15, and I'll just play one of the tracks.
You start off with 4.
All right.
What's number 4, dog?
I can't. Now I can't find it. Okay, I got it. Oh, boy. So I'm pretty sure I had to have been 6 or 7 when I made this.
So you were you were old enough to
let me get on the Roadcaster.
To have created a mixtape, but you what song were you gonna play? Connect real quick and
it's connected. All right, here we go. I'm not gonna reveal what it is yet. I'm more than just
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
More than just your average girl.
I had this in the number 4 slot. Hmm. That's the cleanup hitter in baseball. This girl just wants to rock. This is what I was jamming out to in 7.
Wow.
I didn't remember the song until the chorus came in. I'm like, oh, I know this.
Who said?
You have any memory of this?
I do. Who said?
You want to give me a number, Chase?
12. Okay. Man, you were like, this was
like Disney, the height of me loving Disney Channel.
Could you imagine the guy who like played his heart out on the guitar on this track? Do you think he talks about that?
It was some studio musician in his 40s.
You know who said the Miley Cyrus song? 2004. That was me. I did that. I wrote that.
All right. Track 12.
It was probably her dad.
Maybe. There's Billy Ray Cyrus on all the instruments.
They might have.
Random, like, middle-aged studio musicians, what I'm imagining. Track 12. Daughtry. I was blown away. What could I say? Also an American Idol fan at this age, which is where I think the Daughtry thing came from. And I can't do without. I try to see the very, like, now I would call it butt rock.
Glad we put a trigger warning on this episode. Can we make this something? what was going through your mind? Like, what headspace were you in to have to listen to this?
Was this like looking out the like, window?
It's not over. Freaking, it's not over, yo. Just watching the rain streak across the window in the backseat of your parents' car.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with 8.
Corbin Blue.
Oh, my God.
Is this Push It?
Is this Push It to the Limit?
Oh, hey, this is a banger.
Hey, that's a banger, though.
It is.
This is a good movie.
It's
I need
Afro
to watch this
Corbin.
Again.
Let's do it. Push It. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Push it, push it to the limit, limit. Cause we're in it to win it, in it to win it. Oh yeah. I realize this is where my heart is. Now is the time to finish what I started. This track is mad breathy. It's who I am. Gotta live my dream my own way. Work it harder.
Man.
Push it, push it to the limit, limit.
That wasn't the only High School Musical track I had.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
I love this. What number is this one?
That number wasn't two. High School Musical,
two?
Was it?
You are the music in me.
To this song though.
You know
the words once
upon a time. You know, High School Musical gets a lot of hate, but I don't think people understand how truly like it was like the Grease of our time.
I mean,
it was really important.
This was I remember thinking, wow, wow.
It was the biggest movie of our childhood.
I didn't remember like how much of my entertainment ecosystem was just Disney.
Yeah,
like,
mine
I had all
too.
These Disney songs and I watched Disney movies and
yeah.
What a classic.
Let it play real quick.
Yeah. Like a common friend. You're pulling me. Then I hear my favorite song. I know that we belong. Yeah.
Music in me. Like I knew you before we met. Can't explain. There's no name. I mean, this should have just been the episode. Us vibing out to us vibing out to High School Musical 1.
Also, I had a song from Bowling for Soup, which is the band that made Phineas and Ferb's music. So I guess I just found them through that. But it was a song about this woman who's like trying to cling on to her youth that I, there's like no way I could have understood the lyrics when I was a kid. But it's like this, this girl who's like really into Bruce Springsteen and Nirvana. And it's like, also had some Jonas Brothers.
I love
Jonas Brothers.
Is it Year 3000?
Year 3000, boy?
Yes. Oh, we knew.
Dude, this song.
I still listen to this.
I've been jamming out to this song in my car.
Really?
Yeah,
I
the
have
past
too,
couple
man.
Weeks, dude.
I love this. I love the music video.
The music video is so cool.
Apparently, this song was written by a UK band.
Yeah, this is a
really?
Cover.
Yeah. One day when
I came home at lunchtime, I heard a funny noise. Went out to the backyard to find out if it was one of those ratty boys. With my neighbor, called Peter, in a flux capacitor. He told me he built a time machine. Wanted to film a scene. Yeah! He said, I went to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they live underwater.
Woo!
And your great, great, great granddaughter is doing fine. Doing fine. There's a part of this song that always frustrated me. Hold on, listen. And another one. It's the part where he talks about how they live underwater.
Is it the bridge?
Yeah.
This one?
I don't think so.
I think it's in the first verse.
Oh, it's in the first verse. No. But the part where he says, not much has changed, but they live underwater. I was like, that's a big change.
Well, yeah, I think that's a joke.
Oh.
Maybe.
As a kid, I was like...
Not much has changed, but they live underwater.
That's a big
pretty
change.
Pretty big shakeup.
I mean, we just all become Avatar Way of the Water. That's what he's saying. James Cameron directs the world at the year 3000. Yeah.
Whoa.
I mean, to be honest, holds up.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Holds up.
Jonas Brothers have always been cool.
Yeah. At first when I found this, I was cringing, but I was like, you know what? Some of these songs still
bangers.
Go hard.
They still bangers.
Oh, yeah.
Not Daughtry, though.
Hey, you got any Camp Rock on there?
No. I think this is pre-Camp Rock when I made this.
Yeah.
You didn't mess with Camp Rock?
No, but I do. I want to close with Tim McGraw.
Oh, my gosh.
I like Tim McGraw.
Just envision 8-year-old PD just...
Yeah.
...with his iPod Classic.
This song
like,
is
I need
called
this.
Find Out Who Your Friends Are. It's about getting... Yeah. This song spoke to me when I was a kid.
Get yourself in a bind, lose your shirt off your back. Need a floor, need a couch, need a bus back. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the cream is gonna rise. This is what you really didn't know. This is where the truth don't lie.
You find out who your friends are.
This is a problem you had? You're like, yeah. I need to know who my friends
Dude,
are.
Dude, when I was a kid and I would get my pickup stuck on the side of the road.
You know, I feel this way when they forget to put my name in the emails.
Yeah, that's how you find out.
You find out who your fans are. Who your friends are.
Bro, somebody said describe country music as having you makes you miss people you never met. You understand? I don't drive a truck, but when I listen to country music,
yeah.
I mean, I feel it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man.
Feels pretty powerful when you drive a truck too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I gotta get me a big truck.
You want mine?
I mean, same thing, man. Like, I don't go fishing at the lake, yeah. But when I hear a song about fishing at the lake, I'm like, I get it. I know what it feels like.
This one was a big one for me too.
Oh, this is a good song. This was a big one for me too.
What is this?
Live Like You Were Dying.
Oh my gosh.
I was listening to this on the way here.
Today?
I was, yeah.
Seriously. So there's some overlap between 7-year-old PD and 22-year-old Chase?
I'm not lying when I say, like, this is just my music taste. Jonas Brothers and Tim McGraw.
Brother, it's a miracle. You don't have, like, a thick Southern accent. I don't know what... theater really changed your life.
Yeah, it did.
If you had not gotten a hold of theater, you would have been...
Yeah. I was also just, like, really embarrassed of my extended family and, like, how country they were. So, yeah.
Wow.
Looking at the x-rays. Talking about the options.
I used to be like sad, man. I'd be like, yo, this is...
I need to live. I need to invest more time in my friends.
This might really be the real end.
How's it hit you when you get that kind of news?
Man, what'd you do?
He said, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds. On a full length Fu Manchu. And I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Woo!
Man,
I'm so petty.
I just got saved again.
Look. Hey,
Tim McGraw.
I'ma say it. That's a gospel song. That's a gospel song.
I felt the
That's
presence
a gospel song.
In this room.
That's the gospel. The gospel is to live like we're dying. And Tim McGraw embodied that in a track, yo.
The part of
Get
that
past
song,
the banjo and love some country music, yo.
He's like, I gave forgiveness that I've been denying. I'm so petty that if I find out I'm about to die, I'm like, well, they better start apologizing. I won't
hey,
be here forever.
Needs me, if anybody needs me, I'm at Barnes & Noble.
my roster of country artists that I like when I was a kid, it was Josh Turner, Jason Aldean,
oh, yeah.
Tim McGraw, Faith
Dirt
Hill,
Road Anthem.
Alan Jackson.
Yeah, I really do like country music.
Can you play a song? This is one of my favorite country songs. Darius Rucker. Can you play Radio?
Oh, that's a good song.
Have I played this before?
I've heard it because of Warren.
Oh, Hootie and the Blowfish.
Man, that's my song, y'all. Once again,
good,
I'm
man. You know he's from around here?
Yeah.
That's right.
Anderson or something?
Yeah.
Bruh, if this Christian comedy thing don't work out,
you're going to be a country singer?
I'm just going to turn into Darius Rucker, y'all. I'm going to wear some jeans and some boots.
Good luck.
I'm serious, man. Is there another black Darius? Like, is there another Darius Obliger?
Is there another black Darius Rucker?
He needs a predecessor, dog. That could be me.
There's some black sure country artists.
Dude,
they're pretty good.
I mean, 17. The only way I had a car is after I dropped my mama off where she needed to go. Four ball tires. With the ceiling falling and the window stuck. But the only thing that I cared about was the radio. Yo. Turn it up again. And tell everybody what. Jump on in. Riding down the highway. Who wants to be the DJ? I find a spot on the side of the road. You'll find something on the radio. I play this song at the house and just we'll sing every word occasionally. And Grace is like, what? Why?
It's a good song.
All we needed was a radio. I'm playing air guitar too. I grabbed my girl. We'd look for somewhere to watch the stars. See, once again, I've never grabbed Grace and been like, let's find a place to watch the stars. But when I listen to the song, I'm like, yeah, dude,
yeah.
I know about that.
Yeah, dude, let's go find those stars.
Let's go look at some stars. Let's go.
I guess this closes the Country Power Hour.
Hey, man, I love country
music. Let's go.
Yeah, I like country music and aggressive gangster rap.
I love how it makes me feel, man.
It makes you reminiscent for a time you didn't live in.
Man.
I only have one country song that I'll listen to now and then. Is Anybody Going to San Antone by Charlie Pride?
You never even been to San Antonio.
No.
You just be, be jamming.
Elizabeth hates country music, but she, you know, there's a TikTok sound that's a parody of a country song where it goes, armadillo's been digging little holes in my backyard. She sings that constantly.
Is that a real song?
It's called
Is it real? Is that a real song or is it just a TikTok?
That's the parody, TikTok. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, did we hit enough checklists on this episode?
This is a weird one, guys.
Yeah,
this is
a weird strange.
One. Thanks for sticking with us.
Youth pastor quotes and Disney and country music.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't going to say anything. I don't feel like you earned the belt this episode.
I thought...
You kind of gave it to yourself,
man. Well, because
man.
I recognize the greatness in myself. And
I'm just saying, man. It felt a little weird. I don't know.
I mean, you can think whatever you want, Chase. You have the right to do that. This is America.
Speaking of, you can be wrong. Speaking of Chase's thoughts... Let's check in with Chase.
While we were talking, my sister texted me a picture of what she's up to. She's at school.
Oh, man,
she's digging dead bodies.
Oh, don't show me that.
I really thought
you can't see the dead body.
Oh, okay.
It's just her digging a hole.
Show me a picture of a corpse.
No,
I've met your sister before.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem like the kind of person who would be in that space.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how you could just dig up dead bodies and then I don't know, man. Eat a Subway sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I see a dead body, it's ruining my week.
Yeah.
Maybe my month.
Her professors buried it 6 feet and they all got handed a little shovel and they're like, dig it up. And so that's what she's up to. That's what I got.
Wait,
to share.
So they died and they're just a mini game?
They donate their bodies.
Yeah.
So basically, like they learn like what happens to a body that's been buried under the ground 6 feet for X amount of time.
Okay. So you can essentially just be like, "Yo, when I die."
Yep.
What's your sister's name?
Allie.
Just toss me over to Allie's teacher.
Damn, throw me in these mini games.
They'll know what to do with me. Dig me 6 feet on. What did you also say she did? Like their class, they'll hang bodies on trees.
Yeah, it's a body farm, is what it's called.
Hey, body farm, guys. And, body farm, real will, term.
They'll hang
body farm
bodies up in the trees and on the ground and in the dirt, and they'll let the weather them and see what happens. Like, what happens to someone that's completely naked in the elements for like 6 months? What happens if they have clothes on? All that kind of stuff.
That does sound fascinating, and like it would keep me up for a week.
That's what I'm saying.
She talks about it like it's a sitcom, though. Like, she told me a story. I think I might have mentioned this before.
No,
but
you mentioned that to me. I don't know. If you're
okay.
Talking
about the show. On the she was. They had this old woman, body laying in Western Carolina, is like on a hill, and the body farm's on this steep hill. And she was sitting there, and she turns around, and the body was just rolling down this, and she had to run down and try to stop it from rolling all the way down the mountain.
Just tumbling around with a dead body.
But yeah.
Yikes. Like I said, man, you can't pay me enough to do that.
Yeah.
To do the job or to have your body be have that done to?
Both. Fair. If I die, man, leave me at peace, dog. Don't even cremate me, dog.
Really?
Honestly, don't even move me from where I die. If I'm in the Prius, bury the Prius.
Bury the Prius. My tomb.
Don't even bother me, dog.
Other than that, listen to Written By Podcast every Monday.
Yeah, check out Written By. What else are we trying to plug? Oh, guys, Chase and I, and PD, and some other members of the After School team, we launched a little consignment thrift store, online thrift store, called Old Church Merch. Guys, a lot of church merchandise, if you go to a camp or a conference or like any church event, that merchandise just goes to like a thrift store or lives in your closet and dies.
Yeah.
And Chase and myself and some other people, we've enlisted some buyers. We've found
the best vintage,
the best and the worst church merch that has been forgotten, and we're giving it another life.
Yep.
Visit at old.church.merch on Instagram or
oldchurchmerch.com.
Oldchurchmerch.com.
But the thing is, we do it in drops. They're only available for 24 hours at a time.
Yeah.
So keep up with the Instagram so that way you know when a drop is coming.
Yeah. You can't. Just don't be like, oh, I can buy something right now. You can't.
It's exclusive.
You can't.
Limited time.
And then also, I meant to plug this on the last episode. Guys, we got a P.O. box now.
Yeah.
We have a P.O. box now, and we needed one for a long time because, dude, when people are like, hey, can I send you something? I would just send them my home address.
Yeah, and now when Shama gets murdered, we'll know why.
You'll be like, man, he thought he was getting a cross T-shirt and a necklace. Turns out.
The P.O. box is After School Program, P.O. Box 14061, Greenville, South Carolina, 29610.
That's P.O. Box 14061, Greenville, South Carolina, 29610. P.O. Box 14061. Send us something.
Yeah, send us stuff.
We said, what did we decide on? No food.
Yeah.
Unless we get an official taste tester.
In case it's poison.
And then after like 48 hours.
Maybe.
If they're still alive.
Well,
then
you know
we
what?
Eat it.
I'll test. I'm the bottom of the food chain here. I'll eat. I'll test the.
Yeah.
I'll go first. I'm the newest.
Your name got left out of three emails.
Last in, first out. don't send us. Are we saying no food?
Preferably.
Well, if you send food, just know we don't need it.
I mean, if it's like chips or something, I don't know.
Even then.
Pickled pig's feet.
Yeah, pickled pig's feet.
Yeah, give us gifts.
Send us some stuff.
And sign up for the Patreon.
Sign up for the Patreon, y'all.
Legit.
We've been having a ton of fun. There's a lot of content, like we said, like legit, there is a lot of content that we have not put out. Demos, songs that we talk about that we don't put out. So that's where it's going to live. Go. Watch it.
Yeah, enjoy. And also the Discord has been a ton of fun. We've got a bunch of people in there now, and it gets wild.
Discord's popping. It's popping. It's popping.
Jonathan Wright is in the Discord, if that's the selling point.
Yeah.
Italian Drewski. Hands all over the place.
Did we do praise reports?
No. No.
What's your praise report, Petaba? Got the belt.
My praise report is despite a nameless, faceless figure telling me I don't deserve this, I feel in my heart that I earned it. I don't even remember what the pun was at this point. I've completely forgotten what I said, but I know.
It wasn't memorable.
I deserved this.
You just proved that you didn't deserve it.
Chase, I got jokes flying in all the time. I don't have space for all of them.
PD's brain's an airport. It'd be LaGuardia.
Yeah.
Is that the busiest airport? Don't fact check.
LAX.
It'd be LAX.
It'd be the Orlando airport, because it's a mess.
Fame excess. What's my praise report? Guys, I'm proud of the team. I'm proud of the Cheer Stories division of After School Program. I think it's been a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. Written by is doing really well. Y'all are releasing a bunch of stuff. I'm excited about that.
I like how it's structured well, unlike this podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all actually, that's what I'm saying, man. But honestly, you were in on the ground floor, and Cheer Stories, you're kind of grandfathered in. So, the ship of Church Stories was a raft to begin with. Whereas y'all were able to actually build like a yacht.
It was a raft in my flooding basement.
Yeah.
Which did flood legitimately at one point. Not while we were in there.
I was about to say, while you guys were recording.
Oh, and also, I'm glad the room has been looking really dope.
It looks
studio.
Really cool.
Yeah.
We're getting evicted for a couple months because they're
couple
redoing.
Months?
Yeah, they're redoing.
Where are we gonna record? I thought it'd be like a couple weeks.
No, they're redoing. Dang. They're redoing the upstairs.
Going back to your house?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to be in my garage.
Let's do it.
My garage.
Hey, we'll switch it up. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll switch it up.
We can have Ezra pop in.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the timeline's gonna look like in doing that, but yeah, man, I know we'll get it right. We might just have to be in my garage for a bit.
Yeah. We're going to Shama's garage.
Hey, guys.
Nice.
Basement to church.
Wait, like,
to
next
garage.
Time we record?
No, that's going to be in June. Well, okay. This might come out, sometime in June.
Close.
So.
Hey, if you're listening to this.
You know, I'm excited about
it. We're homeless.
You know, it'll get new energy.
Yeah.
New energy. Garage energy.
Ezra could show up at any moment.
Any moment. And yell, no!
Grace, too. When Grace, I used to call Grace in to answer questions every once in a while back when we did it at your house.
Grace, get in here.
That's really what it was. It was like, hey, Grace, Shama just said something. You want to respond?
Now she doesn't listen to the show, so she doesn't have a say because it's too much. It's too much podcast.
Too much you for her.
Yeah, it's too much me.
Too much you.
Buddy,
we got
I'm always doing podcasts.
You now.
Yeah, yeah. And he's got opinions. Yikes.
No.
So that's my praise report, man. I think we're doing a bunch of cool stuff, and I can't wait. Man, it's been a great year for content and just creation so far. So we've been writing a bunch, releasing a bunch of stuff, and I think we're at the top of our game right now. We're the bulls in the 90s of Christian comedy. I'm not gonna say Christian comedy, of comedy.
Thanks,
right now.
Son.
Of
Thanks,
comedy.
Son.
That was a bold.
Can
story.
I be Dennis Rodman?
Let me know. Of comedy, right? Of comedy. We're the bulls era? Of the 90s of comedy right now.
I'm going to dye my hair a bunch of colors and be Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, I didn't know about Dennis Rodman until I started watching The Apprentice.
PD's MJ. I'm Scottie Pippen.
I'm just Dennis passing Rodman. The ball.
I'm either MJ or Phil Jackson.
And this is The Last Dance.
Dang. What a way to end it.
I earned this.
It has been fun. See ya.